So again, I'm here today to speak to you about the Institute for Faith and Public Health Leadership, which the mission is really the aligning of perspectives of faith and public health to eliminate health inequities. This is our disclosure. I have no financial relationship. So what I'm going to talk to you today about is how the Institute came about, its history, the mission, why did we create this Institute, and the key elements of the Institute. This year we piloted the second year, we completed the second year of the Institute. So I'll give you a little background on the first year, what we did, what modifications we made in year two based on the evaluations that we got back, and next steps for next year, and I'll take field questions after all the presentations are over. So as I mentioned earlier, it was launched in 2012. It was a pilot year, and it's really a joint partnership between our center, which is the Mid-America Center for Public Health Practice at the UIC School of Public Health, and the Center for Faith and Community Health Transformation. And our center, the Mid-America Center for Public Health Practice, we have many projects under that center. We have a leadership, we have a 20-year-old leadership institute for public health professionals. We have a HRSA-funded public health training center, which looks at the workforce development of the public health workforce. And this actually institute was partly funded by the HRSA public health training center. So we had funds and this idea came about and we wanted to run it. And the Center for Faith and Community Health Partnership, Center for Faith and Community Health Transformation is a joint partnership between Advocate Healthcare and the UIC Neighborhood Initiatives, also at UIC. And their mission is to really bring faith and health together to drive change in communities. And as I mentioned before, it's a collaborative effort. This is the list of everyone who has played some role in either the curriculum development, implementation, evaluation, and I would like to acknowledge a few of those who are here. My colleague Sophie Nagy here with the Public Health Training Center, Wesley Uplin, and also Reverend Dr. Shirley Fleming with the Center for Faith and Community Health Transformation. This is our group here. I wanted to give you a little vision of what we look like, all of us who put this project together. And so the mission of the Institute, it really seeks to create sustained partnership between faith entities and public health institutions to address health inequities. Most of you know that faith and public health partnerships usually come about oftentimes for one-time event. For example, when H1N1 was prevalent a couple years ago, the churches were used to vaccinate folks. And then after that, folks, the public health folks leave the church, and then the partnership does not sustain. So we wanted to create something where the partnership goes beyond the one-time events and that it's a natural, organic partnership that stays beyond that. And so basically the goal is to enhance the capacity of faith and public health leadership to work together more effectively to improve the health outcomes of their communities. And one of the things we wanted to do was when faith and public health come together is to identify what are the root causes of health inequities in the community. And to better gauge that, you need to understand when folks in the churches, in the temples, in the mosques talk of health, what are they talking? What are the assets that they bring from the faith perspective? And what are the assets we as public health professionals bring when we're looking at health outcomes and wanting to change the health outcomes of a community? So we wanted to mobilize the strengths of each faith institution as well as public health and build a partnership that would be long lasting. So why faith and public health? There is that social justice piece. If you look at any scriptures, any religion, there is a component on health and social justice. There's a strong component there. And of course, public health is driven by social justice. We wouldn't be here if we were in public health if we weren't all social justice advocates. And by collaborating between faith and public health, there is that power to transform and sustain movements within communities to change communities. And it is a natural fit. It may not seem like it, but it is a natural fit when public health and faith come together. So some of the key elements of the Institute, when we first piloted it in 2012, it was a brand new idea that we had come up between the Center for Faith and Community Health Transformation and our Center for Public Health Practice. We had individuals apply. Let's see who was interested in this program. So we got quite a few individual applicants who were interested in learning about this faith and public health collaboration. But then just because the word spread, we got some regional teams that came together. So we had a team that came from Northwest section of state of Illinois in Rockford, and they, one individual kind of was very interested, formed a team, and came together to participate. Then we had a team come from Northwest Indiana that was looking at low birth weights in their community, and so they formed a team. And then we had a team from Michigan that came looking at the STD and STI issues in their community in Kalamazoo, Michigan. So that's how the initial pilot year was organized. As I mentioned earlier, we run a leadership institute. One of the big driving forces of that leadership institute for public health professional is this mentor-fellow relationship. So we wanted each team to have a mentor. And in the first year, our faculty, myself, my colleagues, we all served as mentors for each team. And the mentors really kind of keep the team together, keep the team glued, working on their projects, their homework, and keep the communications going between the team. And the way it was set up is it's a very team project driven institute, meaning as a team you needed to identify a root cause that you want to focus on as a team, and take the five sessions. In the first year we had five sessions, second year we had seven. You need to take those time through those and meet in between to develop that project. And there were other key components that we included, and a lot of these came from our planning committee, our faculty who helped develop the curriculum. We had the weavers. So in this current year, we had Reverend Dr. Shirley Fleming, who is here, who could field any questions. You can talk to her later. And one of the great things about Dr. Fleming is she wears both hats. She wears the public health hat, and she wears the faith hat, as she's a reverend as well. She was recently initiated as a reverend. So what she did was she started the day in the sense she talked about what we covered initially in the past sessions, how we're going to integrate that in the current session, and how to integrate that in the work that they're doing as teams. We also started with the centering, which is getting the groups back. In the beginning when you're mingling, but we need to center it back to why they were there at each of these workshops and how each of these workshops would continue. So we were lucky to have Dr. Hema Pokarna this current year from University of Chicago lead the centering piece. One of the things we designed when we designed this is that we wanted faith institutions and public health institutions to really understand where they're coming from when they're talking about health. So whenever we had any expert presentations, we always had a faith lens to it, and we always had a public health lens to it. And then we closed the day at the end with reflection. So the reflection came in the piece of this tree that you see, the wisdom tree. Every team was given leaves to write down some nuggets, some idea that inspired them that day through the presentations, through what they heard. And if you see on the bottom of the tree, there are roots. And that was the very first session of the Institute that each team filled out. What brought them there? What was the root that drove them to the Institute? So the roots, and then we have the tree, and the tree blossomed after each session. And then on the picture on the right was the closing. We always did a circle time closing. And this actually tree, when it was first brought in by Reverend Peachy, who is another member of our faculty of the Center for Faith and Community Health Transformation, there were no greenery on there. So this greenery comes from the very last session that we had this year. So from the evaluations that we did a pre and a post test right as part of the satisfaction survey in the year one. You know, if you were from public health, did you know this? If you were from faith, did you know this? We always did a satisfaction survey of all the presenters. But I think the facilitative feedback, what we call the fishbowl evaluation, gave us probably the most amount of information that helped us to guide how we implemented year two. And then we tried to do a 3-month post-institute survey, and I'll explain why that didn't go so well. But one of the findings that we found from year one is those who applied individually, it was very hard to manage them as a team. They all came from different parts. They all had varied interests. We did our best to put them together based on geography and their shared interest. When, as part of the application process, we asked what you were interested in, chronic disease, HIV, and we did the best we could, but it was very difficult for those teams to stay focused. And since the first year institute was only 5 times once a month for 6 hours, it was hard to get any of those teams to get together. The teams that came together, like the Rockford team, the Michigan team, Indiana team, they had a focus before they even walked in the door. So they didn't need that extra time to get to know each other and work through what is it that they were going to work on. We learned that it was difficult for us to be the mentors for each team. As we're implementing the program, it wasn't as successful, so we wanted to change that in year two. The participant asked for more presentations. Five presentations wasn't enough for them, and they also asked for more diverse faith. We are lucky in our center. We have a Hindu, we have a Muslim, we have a Jew, but it was the representative of those who applied, who came through, was predominantly Christian. And so they wanted a more diverse perspective on different faiths and how they view health. They wanted more time in groups. The first year, the team composition was very lopsided. We initially marketed the program considerably, used all our resources. So it was very public health heavy and less faith. So that was something we wanted to change in year two. And then we had this piece of homework. So after each session, whatever they learned, they had to do homework. But when we had initially launched this, we had not mentioned that there would be homework. So the homework piece was cumbersome to a lot of the teams. So in year two, the changes that we made was we had everybody apply as a team. They had to come in focused on a health inequity issue in their community. They had to have written out their projects in advance as to what they were going to work on. We gave them some leeway as to if they wanted to change it when the session started. We added additional sessions on interfaith dialogue and engagement and collaboration. We chose mentors external to us. So based on when we saw the applications coming, we found mentors who either were technical, assistant, who could provide that technical assistant on a particular project, or we actually were very lucky. We had a lot of doctoral students who had heard about this project and they wanted to learn more, and we actually utilized two of our doctoral DRPH, one PhD student who mentored a team, and so they got to be part of our center and learn the team, and hopefully they got something out of it for their own dissertation. We increased the length of the workshop. In year one, we started at 9, we ended at 2. In year two of this year, we ended at 4 o'clock. And then we did our best to get the interfaith teams organized. Even that still, to this day, is a little bit challenging. It is still very Christianity focused. It's just because of the organized religion of Christianity. A lot of the Eastern religions don't have that organization that Western religions do. So, but what we tried to do instead was bring the interfaith piece into the speakers that we brought. So we had a wide diverse of Hindu speakers, Christian speakers, Jewish speakers, Muslim speakers, so that people got the perspective. And the team format really is essential to this institute, bringing faith and public health leaders. So when the teams were formed, either had to be somewhat equal representation of faith and public health teams coming together. So those who were from public health interested in the project had to go and identify faith representatives to be part of their team, and vice versa. So team of faith and public health came together to work on the project. So as I mentioned, we changed from here some of the sessions. We always started with the root causes of health inequity. We talked about what are the assets of faith and public health, what assets do they bring, what are some assessment tools that both can bring, mobilizing for change. So how do faith and public health advocate? And then, you know, we had presentations. Each team did a poster presentation year one. Year two, folks decided to do a PowerPoint presentation. And the two that we added in year two were the piece on collaboration and interfaith dialogue. These are the teams from year two. We had one team looking at how health inequity plays a role in disbanding families. We had a team working on Affordable Care Act and what that looks for. How can faith and public health partner help disseminate Affordable Care Act? Here's our current team. And so in evaluation in year two, we just completed, we did pretty much same thing, pre and post-aid facilitated. Again, we gained the most knowledge in the facilitated feedback. And we are in the, we're gonna be starting our 3-month post-interview shortly. But again, this is what we found from the facilitated feedback, is that team application worked really well. Content expert mentors were an asset. Networking, actually, they wanted more time to network with other teams working on other projects, and that sometimes was a little tricky. Shuffling some of the sessions, which is something we're going to look at as we go into year three. And, one of the things we want to be mindful is we want to integrate some more leadership concepts, since it is a leadership, partly in a leadership institute, so that's something we're working on. So we're hoping to implement this in spring of 2014 again. We'll do some minor tweaking to the curriculum. And then we're also looking for external funding. One of the ideas that we've tried to pilot is to try to bring this curriculum with some revisions to a community and form teams within a community. So that's something we're exploring as well. This gives you a little visual layout of our different sessions and the teams working together. Thank you.